By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My viewers of Madinah, inshallah, mashallah, Azza wa Jalla, you are watching Rise and Shine. In reality, yes, Eid al-Fitr is actually one day where we go, we pray Salah. You'll do whatever you do. Really, if you've prayed your Salah, in a way you've celebrated your Eid. Visit family members too. Do those things which are good and try to refrain from those things, of course, which are bad. You have to refrain from. Yes, you have to refrain from those things which are bad. But also some which by not doing sometimes do have negative consequences. Ramifications, I think is a better word. Like sometimes not going to visit somebody. But people do consider, especially the elderly. You know, especially the elderly. They even know when was the last time you visited. You may have forgotten. You're busy in your own work. But they remember the last time you visited them. Allahu Akbar. The elderly, they remember the last time you visited them. I went to one person and they said, you visited me, I think twice. Was it during Ramadan or something? And oh wow, even I didn't know. But you see, they're keeping a cow. Allah, like, this is the elderly. May Allah Ta'ala bless our elderly, mashallah. And honestly, if you have the elderly with you, you are very, very fortunate. Somebody was saying something yesterday, and I'll quickly mention this, inshallah ta'ala, before we do go to the recitation of the glorious Quran. Somebody was saying yesterday, oh, Eid's not the same, is it? That our Eid's not the same. And this person is, you know, he's not elderly, he's not young either. He's much older than me. But he's not young either. There's probably about 10 years difference or so. But this, mashallah, is a good brother. And he's like, oh, Eid's not the same, is it? What do you think? You know, without your mom, you know, what Eid is there? And I said, yes, of course, Eid is not the same. But, you know, it's part of life that people have to pass away. But what we do need to remember is, it is us who make the memories for our children. I never heard my father ever say, Eid is not as good as it used to be. I don't think I have. Or mention that, oh, without your parents, there's no, you know, there's no good Eid. Or, you know, these sort of negative, I don't think I've ever heard my parents say these sort of things. I don't think I ever heard them say these sort of things. But imagine we did always hear him, oh, Eid is boring, oh, Eid, you know, is dead, oh, Eid, you know, what is Eid nowadays? I don't think I ever heard them. So why is it that we hear our young generation say this so much? And how I think of it is, well, people have to pass away. And yes, it's true, that buzz you used to get as kids because you were kids. Because you were kids, and that was, you know, in a way, you know, like some people say, it's Eid for the kids. Eid is for the kids. So then, you know, things were different. Your parents used to give you Eid. Yesterday we were talking about Eid. Allahu Akbar, I've still not given my kids Eid. You know, I'm in two minds, but I think we should, because, and I'll tell you why now. So yesterday I asked the viewers, should you give Eid to your kids, or do you give Eid? Do you not give Eid? If you give Eid, why do you give Eid? If you do not, why do you not? Maybe you have a good reason. I'm not saying this is something you have to do. You have to give your kids money. You don't. Well, if you think about it, you don't, do you? I know it doesn't feel so nice saying that. But what are your reasons is the question. And one reason which, okay, it got to me was just for memories, just do it. Meaning, I remember as kids, our parents used to give us Eid. So just for those memories, give them Eid. Just for those memories, give them Eid, inshallah ta'ala. And that will be good, inshallah عز وجل. Even that's good enough reason, inshallah ta'ala. So, yeah, as I did say yesterday, I was supposed to go and do that. Mashallah عز وجل, been very, very busy. But inshallah, today's the third day, so hopefully, I do make the intention. Honestly, alhamdulillah, I made the intention, inshallah عز وجل. I will do that. I forgot what I was going to say now. No problem. Let's go to the tilawat of the glorious Quran, inshallah ta'ala. Because today we've got a topic in view. Yes, you know, you speak about Eid here and there, but inshallah ta'ala, you know, we need to get more back down to the topics too, inshallah. Of course, the tafsir of the glorious Quran, which we were reading yesterday too. And this definitely needs to be part of a morning program, tafsir. Of the glorious Quran, because the Quran needs to stay with us. Well, you know, like during Ramadan, and you say Ramadan is a month of the Quran. You know, we had, even if it's Taraweeh, you would go, you would pray your Taraweeh, you would be listening to the Quran, and you would enjoy listening to the glorious Quran. You would enjoy it. You know, you feel, there's a feeling in the air. In Ramadan, there's a feeling in the air. And you lose that, and you lose lots of things. Allahu Akbar. Honestly, during Ramadan, I'm not saying I don't feel at peace now. I do, alhamdulillah, I do. But the peace of Ramadan is different. I felt really a sense of peace. You know, peace and ease and happiness. And subhanAllah, I felt good, mashallah. But Ramadan has passed now. We've got to live with that. Ramadan has passed now, and we need to make our, you know, the rest of our year as beneficial, as fruitful, inshallah wa azzurl. Of course, as much as possible, there's no comparing to Ramadan, but to do as much as we can, inshallah wa azzurl. Let's go to the recitation of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَئِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ
اور ان میں کوئی وہ ہیں جنہوں نے اللہ سے عہد کیا تھا کہ اگر ہمیں اپنے فضل سے دے گا تو ہم ضرور خیرات کریں گے اور ہم ضرور بھلے آدمی ہو جائیں گے
فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوْا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ
تو جب اللہ نے انہیں اپنے فضل سے دیا اس میں بخل کرنے لگے اور منہ پھیر کر پلٹ گئے
فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ بِمَا أَخْلَفُوا اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ
تو اس کے پیچھے اللہ نے ان کے دلوں میں نفاق رکھ دیا اس دن تک کہ اس سے ملیں گے بدلہ اس کا کہ انہوں نے اللہ سے وعدہ جھوٹا کیا اور بدلہ اس کا کہ جھوٹ بولتے تھے
أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ
کیا انہیں خبر نہیں کہ اللہ ان کے دل کی چھپی اور ان کی سرگوشی کو جانتا ہے اور یہ کہ اللہ سب غیبوں کا بہت جاننے والا ہے
الذین یلمزون المطوعین من المؤمنین فی الصدقات والذین لا یجدون الا جہدہم فیسخرون منہم سخر اللہ منہم ولہم عذاب علیم
وہ جو عیب لگاتے ہیں ان مسلمانوں کو کہ دل سے خیرات کرتے ہیں اور ان کو جو نہیں پاتے مگر اپنی محنت سے تو ان سے ہنستے ہیں اللہ ان کی ہنسی کی سزا دے گا اور ان کے لیے دردناک عذاب ہے۔
استغفر لهم او لا تستغفر لهم ان تستغفر لهم سبعین مرتا فلن یغفر اللہ لهم ذلك بأنهم كفروا بالله ورسوله والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين۔
تم ان کی معافی چاہو یا نہ چاہو، اگر تم 70 بار ان کی معافی چاہو گے تو اللہ ہرگز انہیں نہیں بخشے گا۔ یہ اس لیے کہ وہ اللہ اور اس کے رسول سے منکر ہوئے، اور اللہ فاسقوں کو راہ نہیں دیتا۔
فرح المخلفون بمقعدهم خلاف رسول اللہ وکرہوا ان یجاہدوا باموالہم وانفسہم فی سبیل اللہ وقالوا لا تنفروا فی الحر قل نار جہنم اشد حرا لو كانوا يفقهون۔
پیچھے رہ جانے والے اس پر خوش ہوئے کہ وہ رسول کے پیچھے بیٹھ رہے، اور انہیں گوارا نہ ہوا کہ اپنے مال اور جان سے اللہ کی راہ میں لڑیں، اور بولے اس گرمی میں نہ نکلو۔ تم فرماؤ جہنم کی آگ سب سے سخت گرم ہے، کسی طرح انہیں سمجھ ہوتی۔
فَلْيَضْحَكُوا قَلِيلًا وَلْيَبْكُوا كَثِيرًا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ۔
تو انہیں چاہیے کہ تھوڑا ہنسیں اور بہت روئیں، بدلہ اس کا جو کماتے تھے۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم۔ دی ویوز اوف مدن انشاءاللہ ماشاءاللہ عز و جل، وی لسن ٹو سم اف دی ریسائٹیشن اف دی گلوریس قران، اینڈ ناو وی ار گوئنگ ٹو کم ٹو دی تفسیر، بیکاز تفسیر شڈ ڈیفینیٹلی بی پارٹ اف اور ڈیلی لائف۔ الحمدللہ وی میڈ اٹ پارٹ اف رائز اینڈ شائن ماشاءاللہ عز و جل۔ تفسیر ہیز آلسو بین میڈ پارٹ اف اور رائز اینڈ شائن ماشاءاللہ تعالی۔ سو مینی ویوز اوف مدن انشاءاللہ، وی ار گوئنگ ٹو کنٹینیو ریڈنگ۔ وی ار آن the second chapter, which is Surah Baqarah, the story of the cow, which we have already spoken about previously, and now we are on verse number 86. So bismillahir rahmanir rahim, ulaikal ladhina ishtaraw al hayat ad dunya bil akhirah fala yukhaffafu anhum al adhab wala hum yunsarun. These are the people who purchased the life of this world in exchange for the life of the hereafter. The torment will therefore neither be decreased for them, nor will they be helped. Tafsir: these are the people who bought the life of this temporary world in exchange for the everlasting life of the hereafter. That is, they give preference to the life of this world over the life of the hereafter. So neither the torment shall be decreased from them, nor shall they be helped. It means these disbelievers would not be saved from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. As for the Muslims, Allah Azza wa Jal will appoint many helpers. If any person, due to his corrupt beliefs, says that there are no helpers nor intercessors for the Muslims on the Day of Judgment, he is exhibiting his disbelief. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَقَفَّيْنَا مِن بَعْدِهِ بِالرُّسُلِ وَآتَيْنَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ أَفَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُكُمْ اسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ فَفَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ. Translation: And verily we gave Musa the book, and after him sent messengers one after the other. And we gave clear signs to Isa, the son of Maryam, and helped him with the Holy Spirit, Jibril. So do you become arrogant when any messenger comes to you with that, in brackets, i.e. set of rules, which your evil selves do not desire? So you belie a group of those prophets and martyr another group. Allah Azza wa Jal describes the continued arrogance of these people, you know, the Yahud, their defiance and rebelliousness towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam due to their lust for power and control. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that he gave unto Musa alayhi salam the book, the Torah, and caused a group of messengers to follow after him in succession, and gave unto Jesus, the son of Mary alayhi salam, wa radhiyallahu anha, clear proofs such as commands, prohibitions, numerous miracles, and supported him, strengthened and helped him with the Holy Spirit, the angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. His miracles included bringing dead people back to life, healing the sick, shaping up birds from clay, and then blowing onto them, thus making them alive, disclosing knowledge of the unseen, etc. All of these testified the truthfulness of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. And yet the Jews rejected him and became more defiant. Thereafter, when the final messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent, they changed, distorted, and defied the commandments in the Torah and altered its meaning. Allah Azza wa Jal said to them words to this effect: there comes to you, O Yahud, a messenger with that which you yourselves do not desire, which does not agree with the desires of your hearts and the religion that you invented. You grow arrogant and you disregard believing in him. And some of you disbelieve in a group of them, namely the Prophet Muhammad and Isa, Jesus alayhi wasalam. And some of them you martyred, Sayyidina Zakariya and Yahya alayhi wasalam. This shows the utter defiance and total brutality of these Yahud. وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ بَلْ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِكُفْرِهِمْ فَقَلِيلًا مَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And they said, covers are placed upon our hearts, i.e. the Yahud said, that covers are placed upon our hearts. Rather, Allah cursed them because of their disbelief. So only a few of them believe. They said, and the Yahudis said that our hearts are covered, which means we are not capable of absorbing any knowledge and are incapable of comprehending your knowledge or what you say. Rather, this is a reply to them from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla has cursed them and has sealed their hearts as a punishment for their disbelief. They have very little faith. And it is also said that they do not believe at all in what the noble messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. My dear viewers, inshallah, I will recite one more verse وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ كِتَابٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. And when the book of Allah, i.e. the Quran, came to them, verifying the book that is with them, the Torah, and previously they used to ask for victory over the disbelievers through the medium of the very same Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hence, when that known and recognized one, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came to them, they rejected him. Allah's curse henceforth be upon those who reject. Tafsir, and when the message of the Holy Quran came to them from Allah Azza wa Jalla confirming that which was already in their possession, i.e. the Torah, although before the arrival of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to pray for victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the medium of the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they were fighting the disbelievers. Thus the tribes of Asad, Ghatafan, Muzayna, Mazniya, Juhfiya were aware of the impeccable character and beautiful description of the noble Prophet ﷺ when he came to them as described in their book. But these disbelievers denied that it was him out of jealousy and fear of losing authority. May the curse of Allah Azza wa Jalla, his wrath and torment be upon those individuals. My dear viewers of Madani Show, mashallah, I think we've read four, but the next one is slightly long, inshallah ta'ala. So we'll just pause it there due to timing, that is. But alhamdulillah, three or four verses, if we do this every day, inshallah Azza wa Jalla, one day, if we're lucky, if Allah ta'ala blesses us, gives us the ability, the strength to do so, inshallah ta'ala, then one day we will be able to, or we can say we would have read the entire Quran with the tafsir, inshallah azza, that would be brilliant, inshallah ta'ala. So many views of the channel now, inshallah azza wa jal, we are going to go to the kalam for the day. It's Eid, isn't it? We should have something special, and now we are going to the kalam, and then inshallah ta'ala we shall be returning with more rise and shine. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك بك خير الخلق كلهم محمد سيد الكونين وثقلين محمد سيد الكونين وثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به
اكرم الخلق مالي من الوذ به سواك عند حلول الحديث العممي. مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها ومن علومك علم اللوح والقلم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك بك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ثم الرضا عن ابي بكر وعن عمر وعن عمر وعن علي وعن عثمان ذي الكرم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على بك خير الخلق كلهم. يا ربي جمعا طلبنا منك مغفرة يا ربي جمعا طلبنا منك مغفرة وحسن خاتمة يا مبدي النعم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. يا ربي مصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك بك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. واغفر لي قارئها واغفر لي سامعها واغفر لي قارئها واغفر لي سامعها. سألتك الخير يا ذا الجود والكرم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك بك خير الخلق كلهم.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Dear viewers of the channel, MashaAllah, you are watching Rise and Shine. It is the Eid, SubhanAllah. Now, it's time for celebration, yes. It's time for happiness, time for celebration. Can you say there's a time for happiness? I don't know. No, there's maybe there's times to express happiness, you can say. Maybe there's times to express happiness. But yes, there are times for celebration. And even our celebration, there's two things now. One thing, a celebration is not an excuse to do bad or to do wrong. So for example, yes, Eid is a time for us to celebrate. It does. Now, you would take it differently, because some of the scholars, remember, the Eid would be spent worshipping Allah Ta'ala. Why? Because after the blessed month of Ramadan has passed, the many times the number one question, I'll give you an example. Imagine if you were training and learning how to drive, and then after having, you know, learning how to drive, etc., and then you did a test, and after your test, all you want to know is, oh, I don't know, did I pass? Did I fail? Okay, I think I did everything right, yep. You know, no problem, I did this. Oof, but when I was turning here, I'm not sure, that car did get quite close. When I was meant to do this turn, I'm actually not sure. But I think I should be good. I think I should be, you know, hopefully I've passed. Hopefully I've passed. Inshallah, I have passed. I'm not sure, was it a minor, was it a major? I definitely know I did get quite a few minors. Is that a major? For those of you that wondering what is this person talking about? Well, here in the England, in the system that we have, there's, you know, mistakes which are classed in as minor mistakes or major mistakes. I think if you have a single major mistake, then you will immediately fail your driving test, that is. So as soon as you've done something, you really want to know the result, don't you? You are, you know, quite, you're feeling quite, slightly worried to a sense. You know, feeling, ooh, quite worried. I'm not sure. I may be in trouble. I don't know if I've done it right. And so, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, some of the awliya, or the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the month of Ramadan has passed, they also have this feeling that, okay, today, yes, is, you know, we're celebrating Eid, but what if I've not even passed? What if I've not even, meaning, what do I mean by passed in this sense? Meaning, have my deeds been accepted or have they been rejected? We don't know. Have my fasts been accepted or have they not been accepted? And this is why so many, you know, yes, it's a day for celebration, but, you know, for some it's a day to be worried too. But then you will say, okay, that's, you know, but, you know, we need to celebrate. We need to have Eid, and mashallah, that's what we're doing. But is celebrating an Eid a reason for doing something which is impermissible? This is where we have the issues. This is where we have the problems. You know, a person, mashallah, he's doing so well. He's kept all of his fasts, etc. But then now the Eid's coming. Yes, I'm going to fashion my hair in such a way. Now, you know, there are some things which are prohibited, some styles of haircuts, which are prohibited. Yes? And, you know, a person thinks, I'm going to, or for Eid, I need to do it, though. I need to do for Eid. You know, I'm going to fashion my hair in a particular style. Many times it's not prohibited. It just depends, of course, on what exactly you are doing. Some people may think, oh, you know, I'm going to get my chains on. I'm going to buy a brand new chain for Eid. Yes, wear a gold chain. Yes, a bracelet or ring, gold rings. You know, it's Eid. Oh, no, it's okay, it's Eid. People who generally, mashallah, they do things right, they think, oh, no, it's okay because it's Eid. If you don't do this, no problem. Why? Because it is Eid, no problem. People think, oh, it's Eid. If I miss my prayer, I've been praying all throughout Ramadan. But today is Eid, how are we going to pray Fajr? It's Eid, you know, it's okay, it's Eid. It's all right. Let my son or let the kids do this. No problem, it's Eid. They're messing around, they're doing this, they're doing that. No problem, it's Eid. My dear viewers, there is a problem. There is a problem. It's not okay. It's not okay. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, yes, instructed us, Eid, this is Eid, and Eid is a celebration and whatnot. But does that mean you can disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you are celebrating something, yes, Allah ta'ala has given us this celebration. Of course, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has given us this celebration. But on the day of your celebration, it's like your boss, let's just say, or for those at school, their teacher. It's your boss or your teacher, or this, let's just say teacher. Yes, not everyone has a boss. A teacher, everyone's had a teacher in their life possibly. Like, oh, I'm so proud of you. You've been doing so well. Son, I'm so proud of you. You've been doing so well. Yes, you've been working so, so hard through all of this time. Yes, and now I'm going to, you know, maybe a father even says to the child, or now I'm going to buy you a gift. Yes, and the father, parent, whoever it may have been, they celebrate that child's success in something. Yep, and maybe now let's just say they've graduated. And now is the time for them to go get a job. They're going for an interview and they just be lazy. They stay at home and don't do nothing. How upset would even the father be, or maybe the teacher, if he's doing something good for them and think, oh, and they just ruin it. And now they've disobeyed either the parents or they've disobeyed the teacher or something. That would just ruin everything, wouldn't it? It would ruin everything, all the effort. You've got to this step and then you've just messed it up at the end. My dear viewers of Madan Inshallah, throughout Ramadan, we've been so good. We've kept all of our fasts. You know, we've been praying Taraweeh every single night. Maybe we may have missed one. Okay, no problem. But, you know, we've been doing, mashallah, we've been trying. We've been working hard. And then the day of Eid comes and it's as if we've forgotten about prayer. Like before, you used to be like, okay, you know, this Fajr Salah, this Zuhr Salah, I need to go pray Zuhr and pray at the Masjid too. And then Asr, and then Maghrib, and then Isha. But when it comes to Eid, is it still praise? Is it still Zuhr? You still have to pray Zuhr? Asr? Well, you still have to pray Maghrib, even though we've not opened our fast, you still have to pray it? Or, you know, I've got to go somewhere. So we think we could just miss everything or leave everything as soon as the day of Eid comes. And this is the issue, my dear viewers. Do you know, Ramadan is not the only month in which we are Muslim. You know, or Islam is not just for Ramadan. Salah is not just for Ramadan. Refraining from sins is not just for Ramadan. Reading extra prayers is not just for Ramadan. Fasts are not just for Ramadan. Fasts are not just for Ramadan. There are fard fasts, which throughout Ramadan there are. But other fasts become, for example, wajib. It's sunnah, of course, sunnah. There are fasts outside of Ramadan. Our entire, you know, Islam, such a beautiful religion. Islam is not just for Ramadan. I think this is one of the most important things we must allow to, you know, settle in our minds. That Ramadan is not, I was just going to say Ramadan is not just for Ramadan. Allahu Akbar, maybe you can't say Ramadan is just Ramadan. But now even Ramadan itself is not just for Ramadan. And what do I mean by this? I can't say this. And what I mean is Ramadan can train you for outside of Ramadan too. So even Ramadan, our fasts are not just for Ramadan. Our prayers are not just Ramadan. Our Islam overall is not just Ramadan. Ramadan itself is not just for Ramadan. Ramadan is that time, yesterday we were speaking of purification. Yes, for us to prepare ourselves for the rest of the year. It's like that's basically what it is. It's a purifier. And then you go out in the world, it's like you take a car into one of those car washes, all the automatic car washes, yes, where you know you'll drive through through one place, he'll stop there, and then he'll drive through another place, he'll stop there, and you know, with the first he being sprayed with all these sort of cleaning chemicals and whatnot, yes, and then he's all being washed away, etc., and then he car's nice and fresh, and he's going out. That's Ramadan. Ramadan is that month where you are cleaning yourself internally, you are cleansing yourself spiritually. You are physically too. Physically. You are cleansing yourself. You are literally cleansing your body. That's what it is. Is it called autophagy? Yes, if I remember correctly. That your entire body has gone through this system. Has gone through this cleansing period. Where you are now refraining from food. And you know, when you refrain from food, your body goes to it comes into a state of ketosis. Yes? And what is your body doing? Your body is now, it's, you know, there's so many of those cells. Don't like I had cupping done, and it was quite disgusting. And the person who was doing it, they showed me some of the blood, how I had thick blood. It's like blood clots. Because I haven't had cupping done in quite some time. And you know, you get this thick blood. And you think, oof, Allahu Akbar, that's nasty. You've just taken that from inside my body? And like, yeah, that's your blood. And it's lumpy. Do you know lumpy? Do you know, like sometimes you get, I think, milk which has gone out of date? And it becomes a lumpy? Yes? When it coagulates, when it comes together, that's what's happening within our very own body. That's happening within our very own body. So our own body, there's some cells now which have become, I don't know what you can say, useless, weak. They're not working as well. They're not as efficient. They're not doing what they should be doing. Yes? So then you get other cells going around and destroying these. All these old messed up cells, etc. Because you've allowed your body to come into this state to do this, to replenish, to, in a sense, rejuvenate it. You know, it's as if you're completely, it's going through a system reboot, a natural system. Don't like sometimes they say, oh, the computer is playing around. It's always messing up, it's getting slow. What would you do? Even if your phone, oh, why is my phone so slow? What's happening? It seems like something's wrong, or it's stuck. There's a problem with it. So what would you do? You would switch the whole thing off and then it'll switch it on again. That's what you used to do with the computers, yes? The thing is playing around. It's getting too slow. There's something wrong. Okay, what are you going to do? Switch it off from the power. And then switch it back on. See if it works. This is one of the first things. Even your television's messed up. What will you do? Switch it off, switch it back on. That's one of the first things. So that's what's happening with our bodies. Our bodies are not exactly being switched off, but it's being... In a way, the whole system is being rebooted. We are rebooting our entire system. And this is what our fast... And this is the physical way too. And then there's also the spiritual sense to it. That the shaitan has been locked up. So now, you know, don't worry, I've pulled the shaitan. Imagine you are being attacked. Somebody's coming, they're fighting, they're hitting you. Yes? And whilst he's being hit and struck... There's not much you can do but defend yourself, maybe. All you can do is just defend yourself. You can't just always attack because you're being attacked. So you defend yourself, you wait for the moment, and then you attack. But you're in that state whilst you're being attacked, you're defending yourself. All year round, the shaitan is whispering. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we're not getting that chance. The opportunity to do anything back. But Ramadan gives us that opportunity. So if a person was punching you, was to pull him back, now you get that chance, don't you? You know, you're at relief, you're at ease to a sense. You are at ease. Ramadan is that time where, okay, now the shaitan's off your back. The shaitan's off your back now. So now, all right, sort yourself up, prepare yourself, train yourself. And you're training yourself, not just for Ramadan, but for the entire year. This is what you are doing. You are training yourself for the entire year. So, okay, you're fasting, brilliant. You are reading all of your salah, brilliant. You're performing extra forms of worship. Brilliant, excellent. You're doing basically, if you're doing all your fasts, you're praying your salah, most things you're doing. Yes, you know, this is one of the main things. And now you're building a routine too. Because some would say it takes about 30 days to build a routine. And now you're building a routine too. But the difficult thing is the day of Eid. That is difficult. I'll be honest, that is difficult. Why? Because the day of Eid, you're having to eat so much. Yes, during Ramadan, one thing about Ramadan was that, do you know, whilst you're fasting, it's easy to read your prayers. One thing, okay, there's not the shaitan on your back. But another thing is that it's easier to keep your ablution for longer. Yes, you can keep your ablution for long durations, no problem, inshallah. It's easy for you to, because when you got your ablution, just like, I can easily pray my salah. Just get down and you pray your salah. Straight up. Easy, quick. Yes? And then, is it asr salah? No problem. It's only four sunnahs and four fard. Yes, okay, I'll just quickly pray. I'll just be 5 to 10 minutes, you know, or maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes is all it'll take. Yes, I'll just quickly read and then we'll go wherever you want to go, inshallah. Or should I just, can I just quickly pray my salah? No, we'll just quickly pray salah, then we'll do this. It's easy, isn't it? But then when you're eating and eating and eating, you're at different people's houses, sometimes you don't feel so comfortable. You're like, oh no, what am I going to do? I don't even have my ablution. I need to go to the bathroom. How am I going to pray my salah? And then it makes you lazy too. So then the first thing you do, and then you'll do it straight away on Eid. So let's just say you have already done that, but now let's change it today, inshallah. Try to always eat less. This is very, very important. Try to always, now what do I mean by eat less? Some people would want to eat more, they want to put weight on, you know, they need to put a bit of weight on. Some people may be exercising and thinking, you know, I need more protein, I need more this, more that. But overall, try to lessen your meal. Do the best diet, of course, is the diet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, that is the best diet. Yes? Or just overall, just eat less. So, okay, the day of Eid, even I said, I had probably like 10 meals, which I class as a meal, but I just had a little amount. Because you go into different people's houses, everybody's feeding you, just a small amount, inshallah. Yes, not too much. Just a little from, well, the time's gone now, maybe. I don't think, like, you know, I don't think I'll be going to people's houses today. So, you know, that time's gone now. So now we can go back to eating less again. Eat less, inshallah. This will help you in so many ways. But eat good food. A lot of people do like calorie counting. Well, some people care about what type of calories. Some people say it doesn't really matter as long as you're just getting the calorie intake. That's completely up to you. I'm not here to give you dietary advice. But what I can say is, so in a sense, this is dietary advice. Eating less. Eat less, that's definitely one of the best things. And it will help you. It will help you in your worship. Because do you know, if you eat a lot, it does make a person lazy. But eating a lot, it makes a person lazy. You just want to sit down, you feel lazy, don't feel like doing anything. Feel, you know, Allah, you do, you waste a lot of time. Seriously. So don't just eat too much now that Ramadan's for, oh, I can eat, I want to eat this, I want to eat that. So subhanAllah, I saw somebody eating the cereal. I think it was at night. Somebody in my family. I think it was at night and I was like, ooh, that looks nice. I've not had that in so long. I was thinking, no, I'm not going to eat that. One thing, cereal's bad anyway. Alhamdulillah, I don't really eat cereal anyway. I can't say I've never, of course, I've eaten it enough times, but sometimes randomly. You know, you just think to yourself, oh, look, I don't need it. It's not very good for me. Yes, I'm not going to eat it. Eat less, inshallah ta'ala. So do you know, how is it that Ramadan becomes so fruitful for us when it comes to worship? It's the action surrounding it. For example, during Ramadan, you don't go out as much with your friends. Your friend circle, you know, you're very careful about, or you're like, oh, come, let's read namaz. Or, I need to read my namaz today. I'm not going to come out. No, because then I'm going to end up missing my namaz. I'm going to leave it. So one of the issues with Ramadan is sometimes people go, you know, they get that burnout, you can say. They get the burnout where they've overdone it. I'm not saying don't. Do as much as you can in Ramadan. Yes, you do whatever you can in Ramadan. But now we need to think about doing the same things. Maybe reducing them though. Doing the same things, but maybe reducing them. Now, do not, if you stayed away from your friends in Ramadan, I'd like to ask you, why did you stay away from them? Or because, you know, I would have missed my salah. So why is it that in Ramadan you stayed away from them, but now you think it's fine to go chill out with them again? Why do you think now it's fine to go chill out with them again? If you missed your salah then, and sometimes, you know, subhanAllah, I heard from my brother that there's some people that are like, oh, when we get together, we just backbite. You know, all we do is backbite. So guys, look, I don't feel like doing it. And then he said, you know, somebody told me that. And then, you know, they stopped getting together. Because they were like, oh, you know, that they are backbiting all the time. So look at that. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. You know you're going somewhere. They call it, oh, come, let's sit down. We'll get a cup of tea. Or we'll get a shisha. So many people go to shisha bars and all they do is just talking there. And they're talking about other people. That's all they do. They just talk about other people. Allahu Akbar. So my dear viewers of Madani channel, those friends you stayed away from during Ramadan, I'm not saying break up with, no, you know, it's always good to know people, etc. But those people who are going to cause you harm, then even tell them, say, look, I need to pray my namaz. And if this will be a test, if they are your good friend, they'll be like, okay, you know, we'll pray namaz together maybe. Or what if he said this? Okay, look, if you want to meet up, you want to have a cup of tea, yeah? Or we want to go get some food. No problem, we'll go get some food, but first, should we read Isha Salah first? Otherwise, you know, it might end up getting too late and I might miss it. So let's read that Isha Namaz and then we'll go to wherever you want. And inshallah ta'ala, they'll be like, okay, come, we'll read Namaz and then we'll go. And some will at least be like, all right, you know, you go read Namaz. At least they'll say that. You know, you do get some people, oh, don't worry about that. And no, you know, that's where you need to make your decisions, my dear viewers. And of course, your environment is one of the most important things. So this is, you see, because we do not know how our Ramadan actually was. Was our Ramadan accepted? Was our Ramadan not accepted? Now that Ramadan is finished. Well, it said that one of the signs that your Ramadan has been accepted is generally one of the signs of acceptance is that you follow it up with more good deeds. And I've heard something similar about Ramadan, that a sign to know of your acceptance of Ramadan is for you to continue. So in a way, it's the same thing, is for you to continue doing good after Ramadan. Yes, for you to continue doing good after Ramadan is a sign of your Ramadan being accepted. So for those of you that are thinking, oh, was my Ramadan accepted? Was it not? How are you acting post-Ramadan? Post-Ramadan, how are you acting? What are you doing? And if you wish for the rest of the year to be good, this month has to be good. And that's what I think. I think that if you wish for all of Ramadan to be good, this month of Shawwal has to be good. Because you take it one month at a time. One step at a time, isn't it? SubhanAllah, I was doing the Stairmaster. You know that machine when you're walking upstairs? Yes, one step at a time. That's it. When I was tired, I was thinking, just one more, one more, one more. If I keep doing those one, then it'll get me to the 1,000. Yes, it'll get me further even. It's just that one single step. Because that one single step is, people say every penny counts. It does, doesn't it? It's pennies that make pounds. So those little steps is what you need to do. So what we need to work out now is this month of Shawwal. That's how we need to think right now. We need to think, okay, Ramadan's gone now. Ramadan's gone. And, you know, let's forget about other things. But this month, Shawwal, how can I make the most of this month? And I can say to you, if you make the most of this month, Shawwal, then I think the rest of your year would be good too, inshallah, would be fruitful. Why? Because Ramadan is Ramadan, it's true. Of course, well, of course Ramadan is Ramadan. I'm not going to say Ramadan is Shawwal. Ramadan is Ramadan, meaning, you know, nothing can match Ramadan. The amount of worship you do is very difficult to do outside of the month of Ramadan compared to what you do in Ramadan. Yes, Ramadan, you're fasting, you have to. You have to fast every single day. Other months you'll think, oh, I'm feeling a bit lazy today, or tomorrow I want to go to this place, or I want to do this. You see, because sometimes even during Ramadan, we lessen our work, don't we? Our workload is a lot less during Ramadan. Why? Because we know we have to fast, so we have to relax. But if you want to, for example, be climbing up some mountains or something, I don't think you would be fasting. So we can't fast every day. Okay, that's fine. Nobody's saying you have to fast every day. But let's keep a few fasts, inshallah. Minimum is 6. Let's try to first keep 6 fasts. Because fasting itself has its own, it makes everything else easy for you. Because when you're fasting, you're feeling hungry. And when you're hungry, you have that constant, you know, you are aware, you know, it's stated, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Yes? That fasting has been prescribed for you. Yes? Just as it was prescribed, كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Just as it was prescribed for those people before you. And then the reason being is, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. For you to have, or for you to experience God consciousness, for you to be from amongst those who are muttaqoon, for you to have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's God consciousness, isn't it? When you are hungry, you think, yes, I'm fasting. When you are fasting, you think, oh, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that. So let's now talk about the month of Shawwal. The month of Shawwal too is 29 or 30 days. Let's try and make a plan now. Forget other months. We're not talking about the next month or the month after. Let's talk about Shawwal. For the month of Shawwal, how many fasts am I going to keep? One thing is to keep fast Monday and Thursday. Okay, you can do that. Or you can think that, okay, look, even if it's other days you want to keep it, fine. You know, it's stated that don't just keep Friday on its own, other day with it. But otherwise, let's at least, well, we need to at least try to do 6 this month. So this month, let's just do 6. Let's just do 6, inshallah. So for nearly every 5, one day we will be fasting. Yes, and then we'll have to have one extra fast. So we need to keep 6 fasts during the month of Shawwal. I'm thinking, it seems less, but okay, especially when you compare it during Ramadan. But what we need to work out is something we can do long term. So 5 or 6 fasts, we can do long term, no problem. Let's keep 6 fasts during the month of Shawwal. As well as this, I'm going to be working more. Maybe you took some time out during Ramadan. I'm going to be working more. But other things are Quran. This is one of the most important things. Quran. Well, in fact, even before Quran, our Salah. Salah, you have to do 5 a day. So let's just stick to that. Let's do our 5 a day. Why? Because along with the 5 fara'id, you know, prayers, there's also the sunnahs. There's also Nawafil. So you are reading Nawafil too. So let's pray our 5 daily Salah. Is there anything which is going to prevent me from praying Salah? Am I working? And is it going to be an issue? Okay, and I need to be prepared. Maybe, you know, performing wudu may be slightly difficult. So I'll wear the leather socks, inshallah. I'll buy the leather socks, inshallah. That's one thing I can do. Another, you know, you get those foldable prayer mats. My brother gave me a prayer mat, it was this small. I was thinking, you know, how is this a prayer mat? You open it up and mashallah, it gets quite big. Quite thin, okay, no problem. But something like that makes life easy for you. And in fact, speaking about this, I would like to mention one thing. Do you know some people, when they're praying, they cause so much disturbance for others. Like sometimes they might get people praying on a pathway. You don't pray on a pathway. Yes, you don't pray on a pathway where people need to get past. Like, what on earth are you doing? There's rulings. Yes, there is rulings. And one thing you shouldn't do, because this, yeah, you see, as you see sometimes on social media, people are putting up pictures. This person is praying right in the middle of an aisle. And people can't even get past. He expects everybody to wait behind him just for him to pray. No, if you have, for example, if you're on a train, then first you need to, meaning before you get onto the train, can you pray Salah? Let's just say it's a very, very long journey. Yes, maybe you could speak to somebody. And maybe there'll be a place where they can say, okay, pray here. And sometimes on a plane, I'll first ask, I'll try to actually pray standing up. Yes, I'll say, look, is there somewhere I can pray? And sometimes they'll be nice and be like, yeah, don't worry, we'll just clear out this, this here, and nobody's going to get disturbed, and you can comfortably pray salah here. Sometimes they'll be very, very nice. Sometimes they'll tell you, sometimes, you're going on a smaller plane. Or sometimes they'll say, look, there's no space to pray. In that case, okay, will I land in time? Will I get time to pray later? If not, sit down and pray. Then sit down and pray. But don't do these things, because all you are doing is, what can I say really? Some people, they do these things and they think, what on earth is this person doing? He's just causing disturbance to so many people. You don't get in the middle of a path, or you're in a train, there's seats on either side, there's a small aisle where people need to get back and forth, and you're praying right there in the middle. Allahu Akbar. Well, it's good, people are praying, but please consider these sort of things. So yes, sometimes even when you pray up, find a good place. Somewhere, you could go either side. You're not going to be disturbing people. Pray salah, inshallah ta'ala. So this is another thing. I need to pray 5 salah. Know beforehand, download the Dawat Islami application. Know beforehand that, plan things. Yes, have your day planned. Or I get a lunch break. My lunch break is 30 minutes. Yep, and I could pray salah. Salah will take even 10 minutes. I've got 30 minutes. Let's just say you don't have 30 minutes. You have 20 minutes. Let's say you don't have 20 minutes, you have 15 minutes. Okay, I could just read my fard. Yes, I will read my fard. And if I can, or maybe even, because sometimes depending on, now it's coming to the summer, so you get more time to pray salah. Yes, or I could pray my fard and my sunnah, and inshallah ta'ala, I can have a quick bite to eat too. So please plan. Planning is very, very important. But I really, really do think if you can make the most of Shawwal, then inshallah ta'ala, your entire year will be better. The entire year round. Because we can't compare the rest of the year to Ramadan. But Ramadan has strengthened us now. Ramadan has trained us. And now we need to put that training into Shawwal. And if Shawwal goes good, inshallah the rest of the year will go good. My dear viewers, let's go to our fruit segment and inshallah ta'ala, then we shall continue. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Today, we are diving into a fruit that's sweet, juicy, and packed with health benefits. Let's talk about strawberries. Strawberries, with their bright red color and tantalizing aroma, are more than just a delightful treat. These berries are a powerhouse of nutrition and come with numerous health benefits. Let's explore some of the amazing qualities strawberries have to offer. First and foremost, strawberries are an excellent source of vitamin C. In fact, just one cup of strawberries provides more than 100% of your daily vitamin C needs. This essential nutrient boosts your immune system, helps repair tissues, and even aids in promoting healthy skin. Strawberries are also rich in antioxidants, particularly anthocyanins, which give them their vibrant red color. These antioxidants help fight free radicals in the body, reducing inflammation and lowering the risk of chronic diseases such as heart disease and even cancer. Speaking of heart health, strawberries contain powerful compounds like ellagic acid and flavonoids, which have been shown to improve heart function. These compounds can help lower cholesterol levels, reduce blood pressure, and improve blood vessel function, contributing to a healthier heart. For those looking to manage their weight, strawberries are a great option. They are low in calories and high in fiber, which helps you feel full longer and aids in digestion. Plus, they have a low glycemic index, meaning they won't cause rapid spikes in blood sugar levels, making them a safe choice for those with diabetes. However, it's important to be aware that strawberries can sometimes cause allergic reactions, especially in people with sensitivities to pollen or those who have other fruit allergies. Symptoms can include itching, swelling, and skin rashes. If you experience any of these, it's best to consult a healthcare professional. Whether you're adding them to your morning yogurt, blending them into a smoothie, or enjoying them fresh, strawberries are a delicious way to enhance your diet. Packed with vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants, they truly are a superfood worth savoring. That's it for today. The fruit of the week is strawberries. Let's eat some more of those.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Were those pancakes at the end? They look like pancakes. Pancakes with strawberry. People put strawberry with everything, don't they? And strawberry is one of the... How is it that strawberry is not the... I don't think it is the sweetest fruit. Strawberry is definitely one of the most famous fruits. When it comes to fruits and being famous, strawberry is one of the most favorite fruits. I think so. Or most famous, shall I say. When it comes to favorites, strawberries are definitely up there. More mangoes and things like this. But how is it that strawberry flavor is the best? With nearly anything you have, strawberry flavor is the best for nearly anything. When it comes to lollipops, yes, subhanAllah. You think lollipops, you think strawberry. Allahu Akbar. You think sweets, yes, which is the best? Strawberry. Nearly everything like strawberry. I think when it comes to flavor itself, the strawberry is possibly the best flavor. Why is that? Mango is not the best for everything. After you get mango sweets, or would you eat them? Would you like them? Although when it comes to the fruit, you love it. But subhanAllah, there is something about strawberries, isn't there? My dear viewers, one more thing I would like to mention. So I spoke about, yes, you know, keep a few fasts during the, so that you keep it up. Keep some fasts, inshallah. Read some Quran, inshallah. But I think one of the most important things is controlling our speech. Controlling our speech. So yes, Ramadan has gone now. Don't just start swearing again all the time. Some people, the words, swears which they use, it's just regular, very, very regular. Very, very regular. In nearly every single sentence. And mashallah, I've seen some people, you know, relaxing that during the month of Ramadan, where they, you know, they do control it during the month of Ramadan. But try to control it all year round. Try to control your speech. During Ramadan, you know, mashallah, you didn't swear as much. You were not lying, oh, it's Ramadan, I'm fasting, I'm not going to lie. But all these things are not okay to do outside of Ramadan. So my dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah, right now our aim should be Shawwal. I need to make the most of my Shawwal. That's what I need to do. I need to make the most of my Shawwal. How can I do this? Let's keep 6 fasts. I'm going to Saturday, Sunday maybe. Maybe weekdays, you prefer. So that Saturday, Sunday, you can go out, you can enjoy, have some food, etc. Weekdays, if you prefer. 2 days, maybe a week. 2 days the next week. 2 days the week after. Inshallah ta'ala. And then that's it, you've done 6 fasts. As well as this, recite the Quran on it. Quran should be daily basis. Recite a little, 5 minutes, inshallah azza wa jal. And I think from amongst all of these things, one of the most important things is what? And of course, set realistic goals. Whenever you're doing this, you always set realistic goals. Your goals should be realistic. Don't say, oh yeah, it's the month of Shawwal, I'm going to keep now the remaining month, I'm going to keep all my fasts, every single day. This is, then you might just stop it and just give up. So I think just fast maybe every Monday if you wish. You know, it makes things easier. It's Monday, I'm going to keep a fast. Monday, I'm going to keep a fast. It's not difficult at all. Let's do it, inshallah ta'ala. Yep, and my dear viewers, inshallah, continue. Look, Ramadan has taught us what we are capable of doing. It has taught us what we are capable of doing. So now we need to continue that, inshallah ta'ala, as much as possible. Yes, you're going to lessen it, no problem. As much as possible, we need to continue that now for the rest of the year, inshallah, because we don't know if we're going to get another Ramadan. We don't know if we're going to reach Ramadan next year. Let's make the most of this, inshallah ta'ala, the most of our time. Because remember, the biggest regret on the Day of Judgment is even that one single moment you spent in the world and you did not perform the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's all, my dear viewers. Inshallah, we're going to leave it there. Inshallah ta'ala, we shall be returning tomorrow with more rise and shine. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will